that those who live should no longer, from the time they see that he died, they should no longer live for themselves. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any man come to me, let him first pray a prayer to go to heaven. No, that isn't what he said. He said, if any, see, it was trying to get in me. It's so, he said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. You were never made for you. The first thing necessary is to realize, man, you were never made for you. This is not about your life. It's about his life in you so that you have something to manifest and give, because you're only reproducible in Christ. If you make a tree good, then the fruit's guaranteed. So you see you're a good tree. That means every day you wake up, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that my life is so on purpose and calculated. God, it is your will that I'm alive. I am the yes and amen of heaven. And your spirit is in me and you are for me. And God, today we're going to have an amazing day, because I believe that you're going to shine through me, flow through me, love through me, show mercy through me. It's fun to be alive. God, thank you that life is no longer tough and I'm trying to get through. Life is a gift. And it's inside of me. And your name is Jesus. That's called prayer. That sure beats help me, God. Life is really a bummer. Do you know how people say that all the time? Life's really tough, man. We got to hold on tight. You gotta, God, maybe we'll get us through. Do you know the reason years ago the thought was to have a service on a Wednesday night was to get through the week, to make it to Sunday? The folks that have been around a while tell you that's true. The Wednesday night service came out of the need to gather because life is so challenging. And if you don't meet midweek, you might dry up till next Sunday. So come and get a shot in the arm to get through to Sunday. Tragic. It's tragic. So all of a sudden we've reduced the gospel. And now we have another service to get through. To come and shoot up the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! Give me a good shot, brother, because it was Monday, Tuesday, almost died. I got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hit me again, Jesus. Jesus! Thursday, hallelujah! Friday, praise the Lord. Saturday, Sunday, oh Lord. What? I don't know what's going on, man. That was the reason midweek services came. To get you to Sunday. Because that's a long haul, Sunday to Sunday, in a dark and perverted world. It draws on you and drains you. Because Christians leak, you know. You got to keep getting filled up because you leak. You're supposed to leak on people. Not into the gutter of life. No, Christians leak. You got to go get filled. The reason we always need filled is because we leak. Yeah, you're supposed to leak on people. You're anointed. Your cup runs over. You're not going dry. You're not a gas tank going dry. You're a cup running over. People drink of the overflow of your life. Spirituality is measured by overflow. You're not leaking out empty tank. I've heard it preached countless times. Well, we need always need fill, brother, because we leak. Fix your tank. Get the holes patched up. The holes are your belief system. The holes are what you're failing to see and perceive. And you think life is tough and no wonder your tank's dry. And you think, well, these people are really draining on me. They're pulling me on me so much. They're just emptying me out. If that was true, I would be sucked inside out. Do I look dry? My phone rings more than you can imagine. I wish it didn't because I can't get back to everybody. I'm always concerned that people are hurting. Because when you call with crisis and somebody doesn't get back, it makes them think you don't care and they don't understand. I'm so pursued, it doesn't make sense. Because I don't have an unlisted phone number. It's rare that somebody in my position doesn't have it. But I don't want to be unreachable to friends and people and certain people. And I don't just want to have a secret cell phone number that's going to get all around anyway after a while. So I just have an open phone. So people find my number on the internet and they get touched and then they call with crisis and need and prayer and counseling. Some people just want to connect because they get touched by your life. They just want to talk. I am not the right guy to call just to talk. I'm not. I'm sorry. I would like to be everybody's friend. I feel like I am. But I can't be there at the capacity that everybody wants me to be there. There was one weekend I was away. I had 60 to 70 phone calls on my home phone. Now you think about that. I don't even have an internet. I don't even have a computer set up in my home. The girls at church protect me and guard me and shield me from the emails because there's hundreds. And people just chat and want to talk. And, hey, I got a question for Dan. Just have him email me back. I do not sit at a computer every day waiting to respond to people. If you could drain me dry, I would be turned inside out. No one has ever drank from my cup. You can't even reach it. You will get overrun. You can't drink hard enough. I'm a cup overflowing. He says, I give drink to the thirsty and flood dry ground. You can't drain me. You're not drinking out of my cup. I'm ministering out of the overflow of my relationship and my love with Jesus. It's grace abounding.
I'm not getting tired.
I'm not going dry. There are rational thoughts that people relate to because it's been their experience. So we need to be careful you don't burn out, brother. All you're saying is be careful you don't just let ministry be your drive. Make sure you have relationship with Jesus and flow in His grace. When you say be careful you don't burn out, all you're actually saying is be careful you don't let ministry become your identity and just minister out of your gift and ride the wave because waves end. Watch a surfer. He only goes so far. You're not riding a wave. You're in the river. Are you following me? So I don't relate to people, well, the anointing lifted, I was so drained, and I was this and that. That teaching's been around ever since I've been saved. I've heard people talk like that, and I don't understand, and I don't want to. I get concerned when I hear that you're letting your gifting and your anointing become your identity, and it only takes you so far. I bet you love doesn't grow weary. Even when Jesus' body felt tired and he stayed back and hung out, he ended up changing the whole city through a woman.
On his tired day.
I'm feeling a little weary from the journey, guys. No, go ahead. Go get some food, man. I'm going to hang back here. I'm just going to hang, man. You all right? Oh, yeah. Just a long walk. I'm feeling it in my legs right now. I feel like I need to take a break. It's not sin. It's not wrong to feel like you need to sit down and rest. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I knew I'd be on my feet all night. I just sat down while I was talking. I don't remember who it was. And I was going to say, sorry, if I hope it don't be I'm rude sitting down. I just understand. I preach all the time. And every once in a while, I'll just get off my feet because I'm up a lot. And I just sat down and just took advantage of sitting for a little. It's not wrong. It doesn't mean I'm weak. It doesn't mean that I'm in sin or unspiritual. So Jesus laid back. He's tired. Woman comes up. Give me a drink. Wow, I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. Why don't you give me a drink? If you knew who I was, you'd say, give me a drink. Next thing you know, he bam, pow, bam. She runs back. Wow! Whole city comes. Whoa! That was my version. That's what happened on his tired day. So it wasn't like, you know, get away from me. I'm spiritually drained. No, he was just tired from the journey. He's so alive inside, it's ridiculous. He's like, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me, give me a drink. He's not saying, well, man, I'm sorry you caught me today. I don't have much to give. Well, I wish you'd have caught me yesterday. I was more filled.
Oh, I'm on it, man. I am like shooting a machine gun.
And this whole city gets turned. Oh, he just put another clip in. Pastor just prophetically put another clip in the gun. What are you doing, Chuck? Cha-ching. Even cocked it. Cha-ching. Okay. So we died. Or he died for all that we who live should no longer live for ourselves. So we died too to ourselves, right? That's scriptural, isn't it? But for him who died, we no longer live for ourselves, but him who died and rose again. Now look. Therefore, from now on. So we reach this point in time where truth overtakes us and brings change to our thinking. So now when I see this from this point, therefore, in light of this, therefore means in light of what I just said, because this is true. Like, don't just read it to therefore. You got to know what it's there for. Seriously, that's not a joke. That's real. It's there. It's good it wasn't a joke because she didn't laugh. So that was good. But it's therefore, my brothers, this and that. Don't just read there. You'll misinterpret Scripture maybe. Always back up and find out what he's writing in light of. Because the reason he's saying therefore, he's saying in light of what I've just said. So make sure you read a little above and a little below to get the context of what's being written so you don't misinterpret the Bible. Some of these things that the church calls cults and movements and cults and blind and stuff, if you read their little pamphlets, they've pulled several scriptures out of context, pieced them together to say something that it's not really saying in its original context, and it's just blindness. And if you really know the Word and understand the Word, you're not threatened by any of that. You can take their little pamphlet and read it and actually write all the scriptures and the places it came from and write the end and ask them to go back and really take a look at what they have written. Because if you read their pamphlet and don't know the Word well, you might get confused and think, oh my gosh, they're onto something. Because the way it's pieced together, it's strategic and it actually makes sense in its... But when it's in its context, it's misused stuff. And they're making it say what it's not really saying, where it's pulled from. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've had the privilege of doing it before. Well, let me see your pamphlet. I've had them tremble at my doorstep and be unsure now of what they even believe, and they're trained for to not let that happen. I had two fellas leave my house trembling. I crawled over the railing and followed them. I did. I'm not kidding. I said, listen to me, boys. I went right over my railing. I said, this is my neighborhood and you're knocking on doors and you're not even sure what you believe. Don't knock on another door, please. Go get settled in truth. Go get established in understanding. Don't you knock on one door in my neighborhood. Get settled. And they went, they're just trembling. The next day, senior elders. And it seems like a good thing. Like, hey, And I said, hey guys, wow, you're obviously here because of the boys yesterday. Yeah, you must have had quite a conversation. I said, yeah. I got tears in my eyes. I said, you know what's sad? You're not even here because you care about what I have to say. You're here to hear what I have to say, so you better train them against fellas like me. You're not even here for the right reason, guys. I got weepy and tears in my eyes. I said, that's a shame. I said, but let's go for it. What do you want to talk about? They humbled themselves. They came to our home group that night. They actually came. I invited them to our house. I said, they said I had no authority to move in healing. I had no authority that I wasn't a priesthood of Aaron and all that. I said, I'm the priesthood of Christ. And he's after Melchizedek and ain't no end, baby. And we on. We in this thing. Come on, pray for the sick. Yeah. They came, though, to the home group. They were humble and came to the home group. I thought that was impressive. God showed up all the time in my home when we had home group. So it was a good place for them to come. And words of knowledge flowed, and God did some healings, and God really moved. And while I was preaching, they were a little cynical, and they were tapping each other, and they chuckled a couple times, and they jotted some things down. And they were really, I believe, they came to try to better defend against and train disciples. But when God came in the room, they got very uncomfortable. And they put their heads down, and I noticed stuff. I just pay attention, and I was having fun. God was moving. It was just good. And they finally had to leave, and I hugged them tight and sincere and honored them and thanked them for coming. And they headed out. Now, I would love to have a different ending. I don't know, you know, what this really means. But that was a long time ago. That was 16 years ago. I have never seen that denomination or that movement or whatever you want to call it in our neighborhood since that day. I have never seen them walk in the streets knocking on doors since that day. And they're still up the road. I think I got X'd. And as long as I lived there, they just said, just leave that block alone. We'll trust that to God. Oh yeah, God has that block. But I've never seen them, and that's rare. I see them in other neighborhoods. I've never seen them on my street since. Now, I wish it would be a different outcome. I wish there'd have been a different testimony. But there is a place to get so grounded in truth and so studied in the Word that you can make those fellas that feel like they're sure not to know what to think about you, to where they'd rather just avoid you than face it. Do you get what I'm saying? They kind of did that to Jesus, if you think about it. And just went behind the scenes and decided how to get rid of him rather than face him. And they stopped asking him questions because they were freaked out by his answers. So it says no one asked him anymore. But they still decided they wanted to kill him. So it didn't change their life that way. But they sure saw who he was. You see? So you just want to live in truth, is what I'm saying. And you're not threatened by those folks. Jesus loves those people. So therefore, from now on what? Since we see that he died and his love's compelling us and he died for all, that those who live should not live for themselves but him who died and rose again, from that point on, we regard no man, no one, guys, we regard no one according to the flesh. What that means is you will never read a book by its cover again and judge a man face value by what he appears to be. You'll see every man through the one that died. Do you get it? It's right there. From now on, we're going to regard no man according to the flesh. We're going to see no man for what he appears to be. We're going to see a man for what he's created to be. Why? Because of the one that died. Because if he died, then they died. They just don't realize it. And we're not going to see them for where they're not. We're going to see them for where they're created. And we're going to bring the best out in them by loving them through. Come on, it takes nobody to find fault in a man. It takes a man of God to see the potential of a man. Anybody can point out the fault. It doesn't make you spiritual to find out what's wrong with somebody. It makes you spiritual to see that there's something beyond that fault. Whoever really dug and mined for gold and didn't get dirty along the way? And sometimes had to dig deep and go to some labor and expense. But if they looked hard enough, they found that gold. They just knew it was there. It's just how it is with lives. You might feel like you get a little dirty. You might feel like they don't appreciate you. You might feel like they're never going to change. You might be tempted to feel a lot of things. But when it changes your mind about them, that's when you've crossed the line. You're deceived. When you lose sight of their potential, when you start thinking, well, if they didn't get saved by now, they ain't never getting saved, that's when you're wrong. If God did that to us, we'd be toast. If he tracked your life like that and watched you and marked you and your ups and downs, and if he saw you that way, in that rigid way, he'd have gave up hope on all of us. True? Some of us, once we knew to do right, still did wrong. Thank God he didn't have a board meeting with the 24 elders and say, you know what? They say one thing and do another. They're not sincere. They're hypocrites. Let's let them go. They say one thing and do another. No, God knows that he's growing you, maturing you, and there's more to you than what you even realize. And the more he helps you to see, the more you become.
Did you get it?
Whoa, 10 o'clock we started. You do a 3-hour school usually. I gotta let you guys stretch though or something. But can we go into Ephesians 4? If I promise to go into Ephesians 4, will you come back if I let you stretch? Well, I'll preach to the chairs. Somebody will get something. But go stretch, go do something, and we'll see. But we'll wrap it up a little afternoon. Take 5, 7, 10, whatever. Jesus. Yeah.